How's everybody doing? Good to see you. Oh man, y'all are excited to be here. I believe God's got a great word for us today. If you have your Bibles, I'm coming from Genesis chapter 14. My name is Caleb. I'm the lead pastor here at Project Church, and just want to welcome all of you, welcome all our first-time guests. I want to say what's up to everybody watching online or listening to our podcast. If you ever miss a message, you can go to our website and watch, or you can go to our iTunes podcast, just type in Project Church Sacramento. You can catch up on all of our past messages. But today I am continuing a series, as you saw on the screen, called Legacy. Everybody say Legacy. So I want to talk to you today about the legacy of fight. The title of my message is It's Right. Everybody say it's right, to fight. So today I want to talk to you about how it's right to fight. But I believe we got to fight in the right way. How many of you remember the first fight you ever got? Who's ever been in a fight? Come on, raise your hand. Oh my goodness, look at you. Project Church, y'all are savages. My goodness, like 90% of you have been in a fight. Unbelievable. So I remember my first fight. I was 12 years old, I think, around that. And I have three younger siblings. I have a younger brother and then two younger sisters. And so my sisters, man, they were into sidewalk chalk. Y'all remember doing sidewalk chalk? My kids love it now. And so they would ride all over all the sidewalks. And so we had a friend from down the street. His name was Dwayne. And Dwayne was always at our house. He'd swim in our pool. We'd play basketball together, football together. And he was always hanging around with us. But one day my sisters, I don't know where they got this, but they took sidewalk chalk and they wrote as big as possible on the street. They wrote, Dwayne, Dwayne, the booty butt stain. And they wrote it out on the street for everybody to see. And so Dwayne came over and he saw it on the street, on the sidewalk, and he was angry, man. He was so mad. And so he just assumed, because my brother was a punk, he just assumed it was my brother, right? And so he immediately, like, attacked my brother. Like, why would you write this? Attacks him. And they start, like, throwing down. And I'm the older brother, so I'm like, man, like, I gotta jump in. I gotta protect him. And so I jump in, and I remember, like, I don't remember landing any, but I remember getting hit a couple times. And I'm just like, ah! You know, like, I never been in a fight in my life, so I'm just, like, swinging. And Dwayne is swinging, but me and my brother, like, we tag-teamed him, right? And finally, like, got him away, and he ran down the street, and that was the end of it, so we thought. But then a couple hours later, he came back and decided to bash. We had one of those metal roll-up garages, like, dent our garage with his skateboard because he was so angry. He came back and knocked it in, and then we had to go with my mom to his house and had a meeting with his mom. It was crazy, y'all. Crazy. Man, I remember being in college, and it was when Fight Club came out. And so all my friends were like, hey, let's start a fight club. And so we're in the dorm, and we would all go in the lobby of the dorm, and we were smart, so we at least had boxing gloves. And we put those on, we'd draw names out of a hat, and we would have fights, man, boxing fights. And that was when I really honed my skills, y'all. No, I think I got one concussion, I was done. And so, man, we're fighters. In this world, human beings, we are fighters. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that we fight. In fact, the Bible actually talks about it. It says, fight the fight of faith. The Bible encourages us to fight. We're supposed to fight. But the problem is, we fight for the wrong things. And we fight with people. And what I believe that God wants to say to us today is we need to stop fighting with people and start fighting for people. Amen. See, for too long, we fight with people around us, man. We fight with people who like a different sports team than us, which, praise God, the Seahawks lost yesterday, y'all. Come on, somebody. Okay, I'm playing. I know some of you, you're still hurting from it. But hey, the Niners are 2-14, so I got to root against you. But you know, we fight with people. We hear stories about people fighting each other over the team. They get in fights at games. People have been seriously injured because of it. We fight with people when they cut us off on the street, right? Road rage happens. People get out of the cars. They're throwing punches at each other. We fight over all these ridiculous things. You ever been to Black Friday? You've seen the videos, right? People fight over electronics, man. They're fighting each other over a microwave. It's like, what is wrong with us? We fight. We are fighters. But here's the thing I've realized. It's good to fight if we're fighting for what matters most to us. But the problem is, what matters most to us are all the wrong things often. We're fighting over the things that matter most to us, but what matters most to us is wrong. And I believe this, until reflecting Jesus matters most to us, we will continue to fight in the wrong way. Until reflecting Jesus, I'm going to say it again. I think it's on the screen. Oh, it is. Matters most to us. We will always fight in the wrong way. We got to start fighting in the right way. We got to fight God's way. So let me read Genesis chapter 14. I'm going to start in verse number 11. It'll be on the screen for you. But let me set this up real quick. We've been going. This series is through the life of Abraham, or Abram. His name was Abram. God changed his name along the way. God decided, hey, I need to bring my Messiah into the world, and I need to do it through a people group. At the time, the Israelites didn't exist. The Hebrews didn't exist. And so God said, I choose you, Abram. I'm going to start my people group with you. He chose Abram, who was the least likely. He was old. He had no children, no one to pass his inheritance to, which in this day meant he would have been looked down upon in their culture. If you didn't have an heir, someone to pass an inheritance to, pass your name to, you were looked down upon. So they would have looked down on him for that. Not only that, he was from the country. He was a country bumpkin. It says he was from the hill country. And so again, a lot of people in this culture would have looked down on him because of that. Not only that, but he was from an idol-worshipping family. His father and his father before him worshipped idols. They didn't worship God. They worshipped false gods. And so he had nothing that you would have thought that God would pick. And yet God said, I choose you. Why? Because God chooses unlikely people. And he uses often the least likely people. So you're in this place and you're going, how could God ever use me? I'm from a terrible family. I have a terrible legacy. I have nothing good that came before me. Guess what? It can start with you. God is choosing. I believe you're here because he's choosing you. He wants to begin a legacy in your life right now. The whole tagline and idea behind the series is, what will you leave when you leave? I believe God wants us to leave a legacy of fight, that we're fighters, but that we fight for the right things. We fight for God things. So Abram, let me get back to the story. God has chosen him. He says, I'm going to usher you. You're going to begin the bloodline of my people. Eventually, Jesus comes through this bloodline. And so we follow his life. We see a lot in his life in the book of Genesis. And one of the things that happens is Abram goes to this land. And his brother's son, so his nephew is named Lot. And they're living in the same land. And I love this passage. And I've actually never preached on it. I've never heard a message preached on it. So I'm super excited for today. But he goes to this land and him and Lot are living in this, you know, same area of land. It's large, but they're all living there. And they both have herds. They both have shepherds. I mean, they had a lot of land, a lot of animals. And their shepherds and their herdsmen start fighting with one another. So again, right, we're fighters. They're fighting over the land. They're fighting over grazing grounds. They're fighting over watering holes, all these kinds of things. And so his own family is fighting. His herdsmen are fighting. And so he says to Lot, he says, look, here's what we're going to do. I'll let you pick which way you want to go. I'll let you pick which part of the land you want. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You pick and I'll take the leftovers. And that's essentially what Lot does. And so Lot is smart and a little selfish. And so he goes, you know what? I'm going to take all this, which is much better land. And says, Lot, I'm going to take the best. You can have the rest. And so that's what he does. Lot takes the best, leaves the rest. Not only that, but one of the poles for Lot was that Sodom and Gomorrah was right next to his land. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, if you've read the Bible at all, you've maybe heard of it. It's eventually destroyed by God. It was a very wicked city, but it was also a very prosperous city. There was a lot going on, right? A lot of parties, a lot of food, a lot of people, a lot of money. They had some clubs, right? And Lot starts getting pulled towards Sodom and Gomorrah. So even though he's living out in this land, and his herdsmen are out there and his livestock, he starts getting pulled towards the city. He's like, the city life. I like the city life. Maybe that's why some of you are in Sacramento now, right? I like the city. And he gets pulled, but it's a wicked city. And he gets pulled because of greed. He gets pulled because of all the debauchery, which is, oh, it's such a great biblical word, isn't it? Debauchery. He gets pulled because of all the debauchery happening in the city. And eventually he just moves his whole family into Sodom and Gomorrah, says, we're going to live here. I like this land. Or I like this city. We're going to live here. But it's because of greed. It's because of the sin that he got caught up in. Well, in the same time, this was a time of kings and kingdoms, right? So there is a king that oversaw all of Sodom and Gomorrah, but there's four other kings from the region surrounding, and they go, here's what we're going to do. We're going to team up because we're sick of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's too prosperous. They have so much, and we could take it. So these four kings team up and go, let's attack the one king and attack his biggest city, Sodom and Gomorrah, and take a bunch of their stuff. So that's what they do. These four kings attack Sodom and Gomorrah. They steal, they plunder, and they actually take Lot and his family captive and all of their possessions, which brings us to here. You still with me? All right. Genesis chapter 14, starting in verse number 11. So the enemy took all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions and went their way. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew who was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and of Aner. These were allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them, and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions and also brought back the kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. I pray that you would open our hearts to hear what it is you want us to hear and give me the strength and the clarity to share what it is you want me to share. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I want to talk to you about fighting God's way. Fighting God's way means we choose people over pride. We choose people over pride. You know, Lot essentially wronged Abram. He took the better land, took the best land, and left Abram the rest. Then he goes and gets sucked into a bad life, a wrong way of living, to a city that enticed him with all its sin and craziness. And he goes and lives there. And I got to be honest, like looking at this, my reaction, and I think a lot of our reactions, because we react to people like this, is like, ha, you're getting what you deserve. You've done that to people, haven't you? You made your bed, and so what? You get to sleep in it. You get to lie in it. You're getting what you deserve, Lot. I think that's what comes natural to us. That's the natural reaction in a situation like this. And yet, Abram responded in a way that said, I choose people over pride. Abram goes. He takes his men and he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to rescue Lot. I'm not going to give up on him. I haven't quit on him. I haven't given up on him yet. And I want to ask you, what would happen if we showed up and fought for those that never showed up or fought for us? What would happen if we went out of our way to love the people that wrong us? What would happen if the church began to live that way, in a way that says, you know what, I maybe have been wrong, but I'm going to choose people over my own pride? You know what I believe would happen? I believe the perception of the world of the church would begin to change. Because people matter to us more than our pride matters to us. Abram was wrong. And let me tell you something. You're going to be wronged in your life. You've been wronged already in your life. And you're going to be wronged by family members. You're going to be wronged by other Christians. You're going to be betrayed by other Christians. Just like Abram probably felt like he was by Lot. There's going to be people in your life that make terrible decisions, like stupid decisions, that end them in a really bad place. And you're going to have the opportunity to respond by saying, psst, that's what you get. It's your fault. You made a terrible mistake. You made a terrible choice. or to respond and say, you know what? I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. And that's what Abram did. He went and he fought for Lot. You know, a few years back, I was on the highway and I was merging onto this one lane, and there were two lanes, like these on-ramps coming into one lane, and there was terrible traffic. So we're inching along, right? Like 1 mile an hour. And everyone's merging together, and it finally came like my turn, and I'm super annoyed. There's, you know, crazy traffic. I'm stuck. And me and this one car are merging at the same time. And we're inching closer to each other, 1 mile an hour at a time. Until eventually we're like inches from one another, and neither of us is backing down. I'm just looking forward. I'm just like, I keep inching forward. I won't even look at him. He keeps inching forward. I mean, we're practically touching. We're both not backing down. And honestly, my pride was like, does this dude know who I am? I'm Caleb Cole. Y'all, don't laugh. You guys do it too, okay? I know how you are. Like, do they know who I am? Do they know where I need to be? We're inching closer. And so finally, we're practically touching. I turn and I look at him. And he turns and he looks at me. And our eyes lock. And I start laughing. And then he starts laughing. And then I go ahead. And he's like, no, you go ahead. And we had this moment. It's like, no, you. Ah. It was this moment, man. But let me tell you something. It wasn't until I saw the person that my perspective changed. When I got over my pride and I saw a person, my whole perspective changed, and neither of us could, like, we both wouldn't stop going, no, you. I think he finally went. I was like, okay, I'll go. And I went. But see, it's about people. Once I saw his face and I looked him in the eyes, something changed in my heart, in my mind, in my way of thinking. And so for us, we have to, as the church, we have to be people that choose people over our own pride. That's what fighting God's way looks like. Fighting God's way means we lead by action, not just by words. You know, for too long, the church has been known by what it's against more than what it's for. Because our words and our actions don't always line up. We say one thing, but then we do another. You see, fighters are leaders. And I believe every one of you in this place is a leader. You may be like, I'm not a leader. You're a leader. God's given you a sphere of influence. He's given you opportunities to lead in your families, in your homes, in your neighborhoods, in your jobs. You are a leader in your schools. You are leaders in this place. And we don't lead by words. We lead by actions. We need a church that leads by our actions, that leads by the things we do, not just by the things we say. You know, I want you to hear this because I think it's interesting that Abram goes to battle with 318 men. And I think someone in here needed to hear this today because you needed to hear that you can't fight your battle alone. Somebody in this place has been trying to fight a battle alone, and maybe it's because you're ashamed of it. Maybe because it's a sin and you don't want anyone to know about it. You don't want anyone to hear about it. Maybe it's because your pride has taken over and you said, I got this. I'm the man. I can handle on my own. I don't need anybody's help. But I want to tell you right now, God designed you for community. You weren't meant to do life alone, and you can't fight your battles alone. Abram didn't go to battle by himself. Yeah, he had God with him, but he still didn't just go to battle and go, me against everybody. No, he said, I'm going to bring some men with me. You need to get some people in your life to help you fight the battles that you're going through. That's why the church is here. That's why the community is here. And I want to talk to you, church, because I think for too long we said, man, I love you. The church is really great at saying we love people. We love you. I love you, brother. Give me a hug. But then the second our brother calls us and says, man, I'm going through a struggle. I'm going through a situation. My marriage is falling apart. I need someone to help me. I need someone to come alongside of me. The church too often ran and said, oh, I'm busy. I got too much going on. The church must just not be about words, but about action. And when our brothers and our sisters are struggling, we come alongside of them and we love them. And we walk with them, and we help them, and we encourage them, and we fight with them. Don't fight your battles alone. You know, I think Christians should also be the most stubborn people We should be borderline annoying. And this is what I mean. We kill them with kindness. We love them even when they hate us. And we need to take this into account because this includes Facebook, okay? You know, this includes when we're talking about politics. This includes every area and aspect of our life. We need to love people. We need to kill them with love. The Bible actually talks about this. Romans 12:20 says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. This isn't about hurting them. It's about setting us apart. That when the church and when God's people love those who hate them, when they feed those who are their enemy, then there's something different. And people say, why would you do this? It doesn't make sense. It goes against everything that our world tells us. And yet those are the actions. That's the way we must fight. That's fighting God's way. You know, this last Friday I went to Tahoe, went snowboarding. First time of the year. There is so much snow up there. It's crazy. But I was pumped, man. Snowboard trip, 6:30 a.m. We set out. And it was a pastoral trip. We had Jason, our downtown campus pastor. We had Lauren, our West Sac campus pastor. We had Eric, our kids pastor. We had me. My dad wanted to tag along. He's a pastor. And so I was like, all right, old man, you can come. And then we had Doug, who goes to our church. So Doug got blessed because he got a lot of time, just pastoral influence in his life, all right? So we're on our way up, and we had two cars, so we had to go, or we had too many people, we had to go separate, drive separate cars. And we're about halfway up, we're a little over an hour up, and all of a sudden my dad's car just goes dead. Like dead, like nothing's working as we're going 70 miles an hour. And so he's, you know, no power steering, so he like yanks the wheel and gets us over off to the side of the highway, and cars are blowing by, and I mean, it's dead, it won't turn on. So I immediately try to call these guys because Jason and Lauren and Eric are in the truck ahead of us, and I'm calling them, but of course they're already in a dead spot. It was Friday the 13th, y'all. I didn't believe in that stuff, but I'm starting to believe. Just kidding, I don't believe in that. So, man, we're calling them and they're not answering. So we call the tow truck. They're like, it's going to be an hour and we got to tow you back down the hill. We're like, oh my goodness. We left for this amazing snow day and now it's not going to happen. So about 35 minutes later, I get a call and it's Jason. Finally, he's calling me. I'm like, Jay, dude, where are you at? And I tell him, like, our car broke down. He's like, dude, we just got, like, we're an exit away from Sugar Bowl. That's where we're going. He goes, what do you want me to do? I go, bro, I want you to turn around and come pick us up. And I don't know how I would have responded. Like, I don't know how I would have responded if I was in the truck. If I was 40 minutes up the road, about to hit the slopes. And his response, I still remember, he said, no problem. We're turning around right now. And they came back. They picked us up. Guess what? We hit traffic on the way up. We left at 6:30 a.m. We got on the first chairlift at 12:30 p.m. I was a sacrifice. I know it doesn't seem like a big deal. Like, oh, it's just snowboarding. Like, who cares? But that's the example that I'm talking about. Where we fight for people. We don't just talk the talk that you're my brother. I got you. I got your back. But we actually turn around and go back down the hill to pick somebody up, to lift them up, and to bring them. Even if it inconveniences us. We got to be people of action. Fighting God's way means we lead by action, not just by words. Fighting God's way means we must refuse to say it's over, not quit when it gets hard. You know, some of you in this place, you've been fighting a fight and it seems too big and you've been thinking about quitting. You've been thinking about quitting, and I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you right now that if it's a God thing, and if it's something that God is telling you to fight for, then there's always a chance. You know, think about what Abraham. Abraham had 318 men, and they were going up against an army of four kings. It wasn't just any army. It was an army that had just conquered a ginormous city, a gigantic city. They had just gone in and plundered it and taken a bunch of people captive. And yet God says to him, and he feels God speak to his heart, and he goes and says, we can save him. We can still rescue Lot. I'm not going to quit. It's not over. If it was me, I'd have been like, it's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're gone. They have a giant army. They took Lot. Not only that, but it says they pursued them, which meant they had to spend days, maybe even weeks, pursuing them, chasing them to save Lot, this distance that they had to travel, and yet the inconvenience was worth it. The obstacle didn't seem too big to Abram because he said, no, it's not over. God's for me. Who can be against me? God's with me. I got to keep fighting. And so I want to encourage you, somebody in this place, that you keep fighting. Keep fighting for your marriage. Keep fighting for your children. Keep fighting for that lost family member that you feel like could never be saved. Just the other day, someone was talking to me about a person that goes to our church, and they were saying to me, I cannot believe they go to your church. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, they're the last person I would ever have thought that would come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And now they're posting on their social media and they're talking to me about how much they love God and how much Jesus has changed their life. No one is too far gone. Don't quit. Keep fighting. Keep going. But you got to make sure you're fighting for the right things, because sometimes we fight for the wrong things. We fight for things that aren't of God. We fight for things that aren't honoring God. So be careful in the things that you're fighting for in your life. But at the end of the day, if it's a God thing, if God has set it before you and told you, like, no, this is for you, I've called you to this, then keep fighting. Don't quit, even when it gets hard, even when it seems impossible. Martin Luther King Jr., tomorrow we celebrate this man that did so much, not just for one race of people, but for all people, for equality. And we're going to celebrate him tomorrow. And we're already celebrating him this weekend. But he said this. He said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. I think one of the biggest lies, and I don't know where people have got caught up in this mindset, is that once you follow God, that all your problems will disappear. You see, when you follow God, your problems don't disappear, but you have someone to carry you through the problems and the struggle. You have someone to strengthen you through whatever situation you might be going through. And so I wanted to tell you this, because this was a moment where Abram could have quit. He said, look at the challenge. It's too big. Look at the controversy. I mean, this was the original taking, y'all. Like, Lot got taken. And Abram went Liam Neeson on these fools, right? He went in with 318 men and took over. I just came up with that. That was awesome. He went in and took over, took Lot back, took his possessions back, took his property back and said, let's go. Took his family back. He rescued them. This was like the ultimate rescue mission. And he went and it seemed impossible. That's all I want to tell you right now. There may be a situation you're facing, a circumstance, a thing that you know God has called you to or put you in, and it may seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With him with you and for you, you can overcome whatever circumstance or struggle you're in. So don't quit. Don't quit if God has called you to it. Finally today, we're going to go. Fighting God's way means you trust in his power and not our strength. We got to trust in God's power and not our own strength. We need his power because we are living a life of faith, and the life of faith is a battle. It says we are fighting the fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We need fighters because we're in a spiritual battle. The Bible actually tells us we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of darkness. We're in a fight. And you may be in here going, I'm not a fighter. God has called you to be a fighter. He's given you the mandate of being a fighter. And here's the problem with the church. Here's the problem with the church is we think we're on a cruise ship. Y'all ever been on a cruise? It's crazy, right? like all you can eat food. Doesn't matter what time it is, middle of the night. Oh, I'm going to go get some food. Get dessert as far as the eye can see. You go out during the day, you come back, your room is clean, your sheets are washed, your bed is made, your towels are hung. You chill, you enjoy life, man. You hang out by the pool. You just receive. Oh my goodness, I need a cruise tomorrow, y'all. I'm getting excited right here now just talking. But I believe we start to think that the church is a cruise ship. Well, we just go, oh, I just want to receive. Oh, just bless me. Oh, just give to me. Oh, I'm just going to, yeah, just pour out upon me. But I want to tell you right now, the church is not a cruise ship. At least this church will not be a cruise ship. We are not building a cruise ship. We are building a battleship. We're not looking for passengers. We're looking for warriors. We're looking for people that are going to say, I'm ready to battle. I'm ready to fight. But guess what? Our fight is different. Our weapons are different. We don't fight the way the world fights. Our weapons are love. Our weapons are hope. Our weapons are justice. Our weapons are goodness. Our weapons are patience. Our weapons are different. You see, our weapons don't destroy things. Our weapons rebuild things. Our weapons don't tear down people. Our weapons build up people. Our weapons don't damage this world. Our weapons rebuild this world. We're not building a cruise ship. We're building a battleship. We need fighters. So if you're out there going, no, I just enjoy being on the cruise, it's time to change your perspective and your mindset. Because God is looking for some fighters. He's looking for some people to get on the battleship and go to work. Why? Because we are in a battle. We're in a battle in this world. But I love that when we go to battle, we heal things. We bless things. We bless people. You see, the blessings weren't meant to just flow to you. The blessings were meant to flow through you. That whatever God gives you, you pour out onto others. That's the fight I'm talking about. You know, I was at home yesterday. I had a lazy day, lazy Saturday. Y'all like lazy Saturdays. I know you do. You're like me. And man, I was just hanging out with the kids, watching football, playing some board games, Sneaky Squirrel. It is off the hook with the kids, okay? Chutes and ladders, man. We went old school. And so we're hanging out. We're playing games. And we're actually in the front room. And I was playing with the boys. And hear a knock on the door. I go to the door. Open the door. And there's a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses just there to bless my Saturday. I say, oh, God is good. So she started asking me. She said, what do you think about the Bible? I was like, oh, I like it. I got a couple in here. She's like, okay, cool. And then she starts quoting the scripture at me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. And I'm like, oh, yeah, all scripture, God-breathed, profitable for all reproof, correction, teaching, for building up of the righteous man. And so I quote it back to her. She's like, oh, you know the Bible? I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor, actually. She's like, oh, have a good day, sir. Like, good seeing you. Literally, that was how the conversation ended. Her daughter was with her. I was like, I like your hat. See ya. And the boys were waving. But that was it, man. They walked out. But as they walked away, I'm like, man, I got to give them props. Because they understand that they're in a battle. Like, they took the time on a Saturday. I'm trying to have a lazy Saturday. They're out there going door to door, knocking on doors, talking to people about what they believe. Now, I believe it's a distortion of the truth of God's word, but they believe it, and they're out there doing it. And God just said to me, as I knew I was preparing for today, he's like, Caleb, you got to challenge your church. You got to challenge yourself. They would stop just being a passenger on the cruise ship and start being a warrior on the battleship. That you would get out of your comfort zone and go places no one else would go. Why do you think God called us to plant this church in downtown Sacramento? There hadn't been a new church in downtown Sacramento in years. And God spoke to us and said, you got to go. Go to the dark places with the light. I believe the light shines brightest in the dark. And so God has called us here. And I'm not interested in continuing to build a cruise ship. I want us to be a battleship at war for the Lord, bringing hope and life and rebuilding this city along with many others. many other churches. But listen to me right now. We got to fight God's way. God wants us to be fighters. We got to fight His way. But I want you to hear me, because at the end of the day, sometimes we feel like we never do enough. And I know you may be feeling that right now. I felt that way as I was preparing this message. God, I never do enough. Never give enough. And God spoke to me. He said, you need to tell them at the end of this message that my grace is sufficient for you. That my grace is on you when you're on the battleship or when you feel like you're just enjoying the cruise ship. My grace is sufficient for you. But God wanted to say to somebody here today, you've never received the grace of God. You've never received the grace of Jesus Christ and what He paid on that price. And I wanted you to hear me, that He fought the ultimate fight. He went to the cross and fought the fight that you couldn't fight. You see, no matter how much good things you do, how many good works, how hard you fight, you could never bridge that divide between you and God. Only Jesus could do that. And so He lived the perfect life that we couldn't live and went to the cross that we couldn't bear. It took all of our sins onto Himself so that we could be set free. And so somebody in here, you're going, fight for God. I don't know. I've never even embraced God. God wanted to say to you, today's your day. He fought for you. He knew you. He saw you when He went to that cross. And He's still fighting for you. That's why you're here today, because He's fighting for your heart and your soul. So if you need Jesus today, today's your day. Would you bow your heads with me across this place? We're going to go.
If this message has blessed you, be sure to visit ProjectSacramento.com to give. Be blessed and know that you will be a blessing to all those who hear the message of hope that can be found in Jesus. We will see you at our weekly service on Sundays downtown at 9:30 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. or at West Sac at 10:30 a.m.